The mercy to the worlds, 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 sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala sayyidil mursaleen. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Please repeat after me. الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله. الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. Viewers of Madni Channel, welcome back to YOLO Series 3, The Mercy to the Worlds, a magnificent journey through the life of the Blessed Habib sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. So much to learn, so much to gain from this amazing topic. And we are partway through this journey. I think we're on the fourth year after Hijrat, after Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam migrated from Makkatul Mukarramah and blessed Madinatul Munawwara. SubhanAllah, what a beautiful journey. Let me start today's program with a beautiful Hadith Mubarakah on the benefits of reciting Durood Salam upon the best of creation sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You know, when you have some desires in your mind, in your heart, and you think, I'll ask Allah Azza wa Jal for these. And you raise your hands and you say, Ya Allah, I've got this difficulty, I've got this calamity, or I want such and such a thing. You ask in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal. All the scholars say is that if you do something special before and after your dua, the chances of it being accepted increase exponentially. And why? Because if you recite Durood-e Paak upon Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam before and after your dua, it is guaranteed to be accepted. And the reason they explain is this, that Durood-e Paak itself is a dua in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal. You're saying, Ya Allah Azza wa Jal, send blessings and barakat and mercies upon your beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Send peace upon your beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now the scholars write, this is a dua that is guaranteed to be accepted in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal. Then if you do the same at the end, you've got another dua there, which is guaranteed to be accepted in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal. So what they say is, start with Durood-e Paak, put your dua in the middle, and end with Durood-e Paak. Because of the guaranteed acceptance of the two duas either side of your wishes and desires, Allah Azza wa Jal, mercy knows no bounds, and your dua will be accepted as well. SubhanAllah. So remember, whenever you want something, just recite Durood-e Paak, ask for it, and recite Durood-e Paak, and watch Allah Azza wa Jal fulfill all your needs. Salu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We're going to move to our beautiful kalam today, inshallah Azza wa Jal, and then we're going to start this magnificent journey. Salu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Mainu shauk Madine jaawan da, mere dil vich hasrat hor nahi, aaka teri marzi e saada te koi zor nahi, aaka teri marzi e saada te koi zor nahi, meri akal vi nahi, meri shakal vi nahi, mainu yaar manaun da dhang vi nahi, meri akal vi nahi, shakal vi nahi, mainu yaar manaun da dhang vi nahi, mera ishq vi rumi varga nahi, mera ishq vi rumi varga nahi, meri jami vargi tor nahi, پر مینو شوق مدینے جاون دا میرے دل وچ حسرت ہور نہیں میرا عشق یہ کہندا ہے حوصلہ رکھ آقا دا بلاوا آوے گا میرا عشق یہ کہندا ہے حوصلہ رکھ آقا دا بلاوا آوے گا پر کی کریے بے صبری دا پر کی کریے بے صبری دا میرے دل وچوں جاندا چور نہیں تیرے نام دے تذکرے عرشاں تے تیرے حسن دے چرچے فرشاں تے تیرے نام دے تذکرے عرشاں تے تیرے حسن دے چرچے فرشاں تے کوئی تھا نہیں ایسی جس تھا تے کوئی تھا نہیں ایسی جس تھا تے تیرے عشق دا آقا شور نہیں مینو شوق مدینے جاون دا میرے دل وچ حسرت ہور نہیں تیرے ذکر دے چرچے فرشاں تے تیرے عشق دے چرچے عرشاں تے کوئی ایسی جا نہیں جس جاتے کوئی ایسی جا نہیں جس جاتے میرے آقا تیرا شور نہیں مینو شوق مدینے جاون دا میرے دل وچ حسرت ہور نہیں آقا تیری مرضی اے ساڈا تے کوئی زور نہیں تیری قبر تے حافظ لکھواری پائے دنیا بالے لکھ دیوے تیری قبر تے حافظ لکھواری پائے دنیا بالے لکھ دیوے جے دل وچ عشق نبی دا نہیں تیری روشن ہونی گور وی نہیں مینو شوق مدینے جاون دا میرے دل وچ حسرت ہور نہیں آقا تیری مرضی اے ساڈا تے کوئی زور نہیں
سبحان اللہ ون آف مائی فیوریٹ کلامز دا سبحان اللہ رکن شورا حاجی عبدالحبیب اتاری دامت برکات ملالیہ in a very touching way you know says that I've got no other desires in my heart the only desire is in my heart to go back to Medina time and time again may Allah Azzawajal take all of us just to repeat the question again the question was how is the chest which is empty of the Holy Quran the question for today how is the chest which is empty of the Holy Quran we're going to move to our magnificent journey sallu alal habib sallallahu ta'ala ala muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam
The mercy to the worlds.
That we were looking at last week, and how the Muslims were the target of the Arabian tribes, and they tried to attack, to put an end to Islam. We had the Battle of Uhud. Then we had different parties making, villages and groups coming together to come and attack the Muslims. And one such incident where one of the leaders saw Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam resting near the battlefield. He came with his sword. He stood over the best of creation sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said, "Who is going to save you from me now?" Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam opened their eyes, Mubarak, and they say, "Allah," in a very peaceful, tranquil, beautiful way. His hands tremble and he drops the sword. Why? Because Hazrat Jibril Amin is sent from the heavens and he comes and smacks him in the chest. And immediately the sword falls. Akakreem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam pick up the sword and say, "Who is going to save you from me now?" Subhanallah. Despite his intentions, Nabi Akreem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam forgives him. Amazing. Forgives him and says, "You're free to go." But he's not free to go because now he's in love with the best of creation and he reverts to Islam and spends his life at the feet of Nabi Akreem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What can you say about a beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that when people come to martyr him, na'uzubillah, they end up being mesmerized in the beauty or the beautiful conduct of the beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now, the fourth year after migration to Mecca, things are still difficult. Now initially, when the Muslims were in Madinatul Munawwara and the Battle of Badr happened, because the Muslims defeated the Kuffar of Mecca, the Arabian Peninsula, the tribes and the different people thought, this is a force to be reckoned with. And they were actually fearful and would not attack and would stay away. But when the Battle of Uhud happened and word spread that na'uzubillah, the Muslims had lost, and they hadn't. It was kind of a stalemate in the end because, as I described in a week or two ago, that the Muslims who had the upper hand, but because they didn't follow the instructions of the best of creation, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, all of a sudden the kuffar got the upper hand and then they all went their separate ways and it kind of ended in a bit of a stalemate. Both parties took heavy losses and both parties departed. But word spread through the Arabian Peninsula that these Muslims weren't invincible. And in Uhud, they had taken a heavy hit. So some of the tribes started to come together. And they thought, let's wipe off the Muslims from the surface of the earth. Let's stop this Islam spreading and let's fight these people with all our power. So different tribes came together and their plan was to attack Madinatul Munawwara. And the Muslims, when they find out about these different plots and different plans to attack Madinatul Munawwara, they made their defensive strategies. And alhamdulillah rabbil alameen, their strategies were very, very intelligent, very wise, and why wouldn't they be? Nabi Akreem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was leading them. So on one occasion, they found out that news came that two brothers of the sons of Khalid, leaders of Banu Asad, they were inciting the tribesmen, bringing together different tribes, and they getting ready to attack Madinatul Munawwara. And they had come to the outskirts with the intention of stealing the livestock of the Muslims and therefore putting the Muslims into difficulty and then going on to attack Medina. Akakreem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sends out 150 strong battalion to defend Madinatul Munawwara. And then when they get there, the kuffar, because they're at the moment they've come to steal some stock and they thought we'll hang around and we'll try and deceive the Muslims and we'll try and get in and attack them at different times. This was their intention. When they realized that an army was coming towards them, they fled, leaving everything that they had. And so the Muslims gathered the booty and they came back. So no actual battle happened. Then on another occasion, in Muharram, Khalid and others, they prepared an army again to attack Medina. So the Muslims were constantly fearful and constantly on the defensive, trying to stop these people massacring the Muslims and putting an end to Islam, which was their intention. Now, these people had great plans, and they were bringing everybody together, and they were plotting against the Muslims, and they were looking at ways to damage Islam and damage the Muslims. And Nauzubillah, Mata Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sends some really brave companions, and Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Unais radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he goes and he puts an end to this plot and takes out the leader who was planning all these deceptions and all these evil plots. So he is put an end to, and alhamdulillah, the Muslims are saved from yet another attack. But it doesn't stop there. All the way along, these years were the very difficult ones, because Islam is getting stronger, and the tribes of the Arabian Peninsula are trying their utmost to put an end to Islam. And so they're attacking in different ways. There is a region situated between Makkah and Asfan. And Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent seven companions who were martyred. Basically, the background was that some members of the tribe of Adl and Al-Qara came to the Messenger of Allah and informed him of their embracing Islam. And they requested that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam send some companions to teach Islam to the people of the tribes that they've come from, and to teach them the Quran and to enlighten them with faith. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam accepts that request and sent 10 companions, 10 notable companions, including the great Hazrat Sayyidina Asim bin Thabit radiallahu ta'ala anhu, to undertake this. Now, along the way, they camped at a certain place, and they were ambushed by some local villages. Now, the people who were taking them, they themselves, the hosts, betrayed them as well. And so these companions were attacked by an army of 200 strong. There was only 10 of them. And the arrows and everything that came, the companions ran onto a hill and started to throw stones back. So the kuffar, despite being 200, realized that we cannot tame these lions. So we cannot capture them, because they'll continue to fight us. So they said, well, if you come down, we promise you, we'll not kill you. Some of the companions refused. They came down and fought, and they were martyred. Then others stayed there. But then eventually, through promises, they came down. But as soon as they came down, the kuffar did what they do best. They deceived and they captured them and martyred them. And martyred one of them and sold two of them to the people of Makkah. And this was a great setback. And they sold the people to the two to the kuffar of Makkah, who were already wanting to get revenge for what had happened on Badr Sharif. And so some of the companions had been responsible for killing some of the kuffar in Badr. And so they sold them to their families, and they unfortunately martyred them and gave them severe punishment and torture before they passed away. One very interesting incident here, though, was that one of the companions, Abu Sufyan, asks him, he's crucified. This was a bit later on, but another delegation was sent, and again that was attacked. And this is what the Muslims had to put up with. They were constantly being attacked by armies, and then if they went anywhere, these people were capturing them and torturing them and killing them. So Abu Sufyan, they capture a companion. He's being crucified. And as he's being crucified, Abu Sufyan asks, so Sayyidina Zayd, he's hung on the cross, and he's being tortured and persecuted. And Abu Sufyan, seeing the situation, that he knows he's about to die, asks him a really low question. And he says, oh Zayd, speak the truth. Would you not prefer that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in your place, about to be killed, while you were at home with your people? And Hazrat Zayd radiallahu ta'ala anhu strongly replies, forcefully, despite being on a cross, being crucified and being tortured. He says, oh Abu Sufyan, no, by Allah, I will sacrifice my life, but I would never even bear to see my beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam suffer the pain of even a thorn pricking the blessed feet. Abu Sufyan can't believe it. He's thinking, who are these people? What are these people? I mean, we've got him, he's alone, we're crucifying him, we've got him stuck to the pieces of wood, and and we're torturing him to death. And yet, he's still madly in love with this beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I mean, he says, the words of Abu Sufyan, he says, I have seen many lovers,
but never seen anyone like those who love Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. How amazing it was. Then eventually they martyred this great companion of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is what the Muslims were going through in this era. Again and again, different people deceived. Another group of people come and another leader comes. And he says, why don't you send some qaris with me? Why don't you send some scholars with me? And I will go teach the Quran to my people and my tribes. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam refuses. But because of what had happened already. But he reassures Akka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam time and time again. And he says, they're under my protection. I'm a leader. I will make sure nothing happens to them. But again, the same thing happens. 70 qura, 70 companions of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are sent and, you know, and under the companionship, under the commandership of Sayyidina Al-Mudir ibn Amr Sa'di radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He was appointed the leader. But unfortunately, when they get to a certain place, then they send a letter to a tribe nearby. The leaders of those that tribe, they invite to Islam. They kill the messenger, the innocent Hazrat Sayyidina Harram radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And then Amir ibn Tufail gathers the army from the different tribes and then he attacks these companions. They had been waiting for the one who had taken the message of Islam. When he didn't arrive, they started on their journey again and were confronted by a massive army who then, unfortunately, martyred them. This was the problem that the Muslims were facing. This was a very difficult time. And the Muslims stood strong despite these deceptions and these plots and these conniving ways that the kuffar of the Arabian Peninsula had put together. Subhanallah, they were so strong that despite these, and this was something that Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was really, really troubled by, that these 70 great companions had been martyred and deceived and been killed in this way. Akka Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam actually prayed against these tribes for an entire month. Allahu Akbar. Then there was another tribe. They would discuss how to put an end to Islam. They discussed the killings of Islam. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, on the face of it, they'd come and they'd talk to the best of creation and they'd pretend to be friends. But inside, they were very full of vengeance and full of hate of Islam and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And despite the Muslims having a treaty, Muslims of Medina having a treaty with this tribe, they would still go behind this and they would torment and they had a lot of resentment in their hearts. Now, they tried different tactics. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam warned them on many occasions, but they would secretly carry on with their deceptions. Then, at one time, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam warned them that your deceptions have got to such an extent that you're trying to cause fitna, disorder in the earth, so you need to leave. You need to leave the outskirts of Medina and you need to just migrate somewhere. Initially, they decide, well, we've got no choice. We don't want the Muslim army now coming to attack us or to throw us out. So they start to get ready. But the munafiq of Medina, these were the hypocrites who pretended to be Muslims, but they weren't really. And Abdullah ibn Ubay, he came, he's the leader of the munafiqun, the hypocrites. And he says, don't worry. He says to this tribe, you stay here. We'll protect you. I've got 2,000 men and I've got other villages as well willing to help you. So don't worry. Let the Muslims come. When they do attack you, then we will be there for you. So this tribe says, we're not going anywhere. Do what you want. Akka Akram sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam sends an army towards them. They siege the area for 15 days. And then after this, nobody comes to help them. When this tribe realizes that these people had deceived them, the hypocrites had deceived them as well, then they were totally helpless. They surrender and then they migrate from the Medina to Al-Munawwara, the outskirts of Medina, up towards Syria. And the Quran mentions this, that what the glorious Quran says is the hypocrites are like the example of Satan. When he says to man, disbelieve. But when man disbelieves, he says, indeed, I am absolved of you. I fear Allah, Lord of the universe. And Allah uses that example to say, this is exactly what these tribes and Abdullah ibn Ubay had done. And he'd said to these people, you stand up, we'll back you up and we'll fight them for you. And when the time came, they all ran away and left them alone. And so this was the way that the shaitan lures people to disbelief and kufr, and then washes his hands and says, nothing to do with me. And it's often the trick of the shaitan, when he takes you towards the wrong path, a sin, once you've committed it, he says, you did it off your own accord. I didn't have anything to do with it. And this is why we should recognize the shaitan as our open enemy, as the glorious Quran tells us time and time again. Now, then further difficulties come, because in this ambush, and look at the way that the companions provided their assistance. So when they went to attack, there was a jungle near this village. And some of the companions said, let's cut this down so that nobody can hide in the jungle, so that nobody can deceive us. And others said, no, let's leave it. And once we've defeated them, we will take the jungle and take all the trees, and we can use them for ourselves. We can, as booty of war, we can share them and we can gain from them. So there was this going on. And look at the high rank of the blessed companions. Allah Azza wa Jal in Surah Hashir says this. Wherever, and what they did, just before I read the translation, is that some of the trees they cut down and some they left. But listen to what Allah Azza wa Jal says. Whatever trees you have cut down or left standing on their roots, it was by the leave of Allah, and so that He humiliates the disobedient. SubhanAllah. So the actions of the companions were so beautiful. Some trees were left, some were cut. And Allah Azza wa Jalla, the creator of the heavens and the earth, says, that's what I wanted you to do effectively. You did it by the leave of Allah, subhanAllah. So you had these amazing people on the surface of the earth, where the creator of the heavens and the earth was supporting them and giving them glad tidings in the glorious Quran. And their actions were so beloved to Allah Azza wa Jalla and His beautiful Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that Allah Azza wa Jalla agreed with both sides, that those who cut down the trees and those who wanted them to remain, both were right. Look at how beautifully Allah Azza wa Jalla, speaks about these people. These were the amazing companions of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now, after this, they went. They left behind quite a lot of merchandise and goods. Obviously, they couldn't travel with everything they took. And then after that, they left everything behind. And the Muslims, who were poor at the time, managed to gain a lot of booty and some land and camels and swords and other things, which they then used to protect themselves. And Allah Azza wa Jalla mentions this exile in Surah Hashir, and He says, it is He who expelled the disbelievers from amongst the people of the book from their homes for their first gathering. You will not expect them to leave, whereas they assumed that their fortress would save them from Allah. So Allah's command came to them from a place they had not imagined, and He instilled awe in their hearts. So they ruined their own houses by their own hands and at the hands of the Muslims. Therefore, take heed, O those who perceive. SubhanAllah, SubhanAllah. Then we carry on. And again, it doesn't stop there. Relentless attacks on the Muslims, time and time again. And the great Muslim army have to keep defending themselves from the different tribes of the Arabian Peninsula. And, they try and different things happen. Other events of the fourth, this is the fourth year after Hijrah, and other events include Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's grandson, Hazrat Abdullah radiallahu anhu, the son of Hazrat Usman Ghani radiallahu anhu, and Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's daughter Mubarak Sayyidina Ruqiyya radiallahu ta'ala anha, passes away in this time. The wife of Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Umm al-Mu'mineen Sayyidina Zainab bint Khuzaima radiallahu ta'ala anha, passes away. In the same year, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam married Sayyidina Umm Salma radiallahu ta'ala anha, and Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anha, whose mother, Hazrat Fatima bint Asad radiallahu ta'ala anha, passes away. She was very privileged and very honored, because now Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who entered her grave and lay her to rest in her blessed grave. In the same year, fourth year after Hijrat, Hazrat Imam Hussein the Great, subhanAllah, was born on the 4th of Shaban, subhanAllah. This was another amazing year in the life of the Muslims of Madinatul Munawwara. Then we move on to the fifth year. A very difficult year for the Muslims was the fourth, but the fifth was going to become more difficult as well. News that the different tribes were attacking the Muslims and making them suffer, and anywhere they sent people, those were being martyred. And this started to spread throughout the Arabian Peninsula. And so different people came together, including the Quraysh of Makkah, who were still reeling from the Battle of Badr. So what they do is they then again plan to attack Muslims of Medina. And again, this unfortunate situation continues. Now, the Muslims are not that rich. They're struggling to make ends meet. And at the same time, they have to constantly go and protect themselves from all these different attacks. And there was some, and there was one where the Muslim army goes out to protect themselves, to defend Medina to Munawwara, but they don't even have proper shoes or footwear. And because their footwear, because their feet were bleeding while they were walking on this expedition, and because they had cuts to their feet and their nails, they used to tie rags around their feet to help them. And it became known as the expedition of the rags. Can you imagine how difficult it was for these early Muslims? You know, sometimes people, without thinking, say that I wish I was there at that time. But the scholars say you shouldn't say that, because A, you don't know which side you would have been on, or whether you would have been of those who had iman. And two, the suffering and the difficulties and the absolute, you know, torture that the Muslims went through, the poor states they went through, these people were absolutely amazing. No matter, they had nothing, they'd given everything up. Some of them were very wealthy at one time, and they sacrificed everything at the feet of Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then once having done that, they never looked back. They always stood proud. Even if they had no food, no water, they're walking on stones, their feet were bleeding, they were injured badly in battles, whatever happened, they always looked at the beautiful Habib sallallahu alaihi wasallam and said, no matter what the sorrow, no matter what it is, just looking at this beautiful face takes it all away. Subhanallah. These companions, this is why they were the best of the creation of Allah Azza wa Jal after the Prophets and Anbiya Islam. Subhanallah. So this was that. Then there were different times when the Muslims had to go out and protect themselves in the outskirts of Medina and everywhere else. I'm going to share with you a very interesting incident. Muslims are out on an expedition. You've got the Muhajirun, those who had migrated from Makkah al-Mukarramah to Madinah al-Munawwarah, and you had the Ansar as well. These are the helpers of Medina. Now, they're on an expedition, and Hazrat Sayyidina Umar Farooq, radiallahu ta'ala's servant, is there, and they stop, set up camp near a well. So different people are going to the well getting water, and at one point, the slave of Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala goes to the well. He's a muhajir, obviously migrated from Makkah al-Mukarramah to Madinah al-Munawwarah. And then there is an Ansari companion who's there as well. And some disagreement breaks out between them as to who's going to go first or some other reason. And they have an argument. And the argument takes slightly gets heated. And the slave, the servant of Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, hits the companion, the Ansari companion, to the extent that he's injured. Now, sometimes these things happen. These people were amazing, but this was going to be a big, important lesson here for everybody to learn, and that can be the wisdom behind it. So they have this fight. What happens suddenly is the Muhajirun come out on one side, the Ansar on the other, and they're squaring up to each other. And so it becomes not just a battle of two people, but it becomes the two tribes. And these were the backbone of Islam. These were the companions of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. These were the greatest people to set foot on the surface of the earth. So, you know, this is truly a big event at just that point. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam bless the place. And Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say, and the words were, what is this ignorance? Ye jahalat, you know, this ignorance that I am here and you are doing this. They immediately hang their heads in shame. They apologize, they fall to the feet of the best of creation, and the tension that's there is suddenly dispersed. This is the effect that Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has. Even if it was somebody who was, you know, distant, but these were the companions, these were those who were close to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So they immediately kind of see through the fog and they realize. But amongst that expedition, there were the hypocrites as well. And especially Abdullah ibn Ubay. So he thinks this is a good opportunity. So he starts to incite them. And he says to the Ansar, look at these people. They left Makkah with nothing. They came to you. You give them your food. You sacrifice for them. You give them your scraps. And how dare they today? They are now, you know, fighting you. And they're mistreating you. This is wrong. You are the people who have respect. You are the people of Medina. You are the Ansar. These people, you shouldn't have. They're not worthy of this. Nauzubillah. And you shouldn't have treated them like this. And what we need to do is when we get back to Medina, and he says, Nauzubillah, some awful words. He says, we are the people of respect. When we get back to Medina, we're gonna, Nauzubillah, take these people out of Medina. And send them away because they are disrespectful people, Nauzubillah. And in that, he was a munafiq, he was referring to the companions and Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now, there's a companion there, Hazrat Zayd. He hears this and he's furious. He comes to the court of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he tells Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, obey his words. This mischief monger has done this. Hazrat Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala anhu hears this. And you can imagine what happens next. Hazrat Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala anhu is furious. He stands up, he picks up his sword, he unleashes it, and he's about to go to put an end to this. Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam grab him and say, Umar, no, I caution you. If you kill him, the kuffar will have the opportunity to say that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has started to kill his own because on the face of it, he claims to be a Muslim. And yet, we know he isn't. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, at the command of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, falls silent, but he's boiling inside. He's absolutely furious. Now, Ubay's mischief spreads throughout the Muslim army, but Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam takes resolute action and says, look, we're going to travel back. So they start to head back towards Medina. Now, what happens next is truly magnificent. As this expedition is traveling back to Medina, Abdullah ibn Ubay's own son finds out what has happened. And he is a true ashiq Rasul, a devotee of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The father's a munafiq, he's a hypocrite. But the son, it gives everything at the feet of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa, he's willing to sacrifice his life. He finds out, he stops his father at the outskirts of Medina, puts a sword to his neck and says, how dare you say this about the beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Unless you say that respect and honor is for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his companions, I will sever your head from your body. Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam come past, and this munafiq, this hypocrite, Abdullah ibn Ubay, he's shouting out that I say, I am disrespectful, and all respect is for Allah's Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Mu'min. And they're hearing this. At this point, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam turned to Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu anhu and said, Umar, look, if you had killed him then it would have been difficult. But look now, his own son is making him stand here. And Hazrat Umar Farooq radiallahu anhu comes out with a reply that is unmatched. He says, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I testify that you are truly the prophet of that amazing Lord, subhanallah. Subhanallah, because Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's wisdom and hikmat and, you know, his hilm and his courage was just magnificent. And Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala upon seeing the beautiful way that Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had dealt with this munafiq was just mesmerized in the love of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In one of the battles, people were captured. And in one of the tribes, there was a daughter of a leader of a great and noble tribe who came. And what they could do was they could give ransom and release their relatives. So this amazing pious lady, she was known for her piety. This amazing lady is wants to be ransomed, but they can't afford. And the person who has her, who's been kind of given her responsibility, is asking for too much money. So she comes to the court of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam and says that your companion demands that I pay him a certain amount of money. Unfortunately, I don't possess this. O Messenger of Allah azza wa jal, I have accepted Islam and I ask for your help. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gives a reply that not only mesmerizes her, but mesmerizes all of her tribe and the companions as well. Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, what if I treat you in a manner better than that which you have asked for? Hazrat Sayyidina Juwayriyah radiallahu ta'ala anha inquires as to what that would be. And the Messenger of Allah azza wa jal replied, I wish to pay the ransom for your freedom and thereafter marry you in order that your ancestral nobility is maintained. SubhanAllah. Hazrat Juwayriyah radiallahu ta'ala anha, the mother of the believers, was overjoyed, accepted this proposal of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There were great wisdoms behind this, because obviously her father was a leader of a tribe, and that would help the Muslims as well. But not only that, as soon as she became Ummul Mu'mineen, all the slaves who people had been demanding ransom were for, who were related back to Hazrat Juwayriyah radiallahu ta'ala anha, were freed by the companions, because they said that how can we take ransom for relatives of Ummul Mu'mineen, the mother of the believers, Hazrat Juwayriyah radiallahu ta'ala anha. And so because of this act, SubhanAllah, the scholars write that over 100 families of Banu Mustalik were set free. SubhanAllah. Look at the hikmat and the beauty. And her name before she entered Islam was Bara, which means pious. And then Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam changed it to Juwayriyah, which means young maid. And she became the mother of the believers. SubhanAllah. SubhanAllah. I've got some beautiful incidents that changed the way that we look at things and changed the way that we behave and the way that we look at the beautiful family of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Ahli Bayt al-Athhar. But I haven't got time to go into that today. Inshallah, we're going to start from that new chapter, inshallah, azawajal, next week. We're going to move to our second segment, which is Asan Nekiyan, Easy Good Deeds. Salu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
The mercy to the world.
So, what we've been doing throughout is in the last 5 minutes, we've been giving you easy good deeds to do. And you remember, we've been through the zikr of Allah Azza wa Jal. We've been through reciting the glorious Quran. We've been through different little things that you can change in your life and you can come closer to Allah and His Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Well, today, what we're going to leave you with is something which is life-changing. This is something which is, in essence, the absolute height of your good deeds. And that is nothing other than recitation of Durood e Pak upon Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is such an amazing gift from Allah Azza wa Jal to this ummah, that whatever the difficulties are, whatever the calamity, whatever faces you, reading Durood e Pak upon Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gives peace and tranquility to the heart. It gets rid of all your problems. It's a cure for all diseases. And it's a recipe for a beautiful and successful life. There are people in this world, and many thousands and millions who've passed, who decorated their lives with Durood e Pak upon Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whether they were standing, sitting, or moving, or working, or whatever they did. They were constantly sending Durood as Salaam upon the best of creation sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And through the blessings of this, they gained everything they wanted. The desires of their heart became fulfilled. Now, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that undoubtedly, on the day of judgment, people will face difficulties and terrors, and they will have to give accountability. But the one who recites Durood e Pak upon me abundantly will find that day very easy. SubhanAllah. Then there are many, many other benefits. And I'm just going to give you some in the last few minutes that we have. Because Durood e Pak is that central vazifa. You know, a lot of people that come and they say, can I have a litany, a vazifa for this ailment, that problem, this thing? And the scholars go through the glorious Quran and the teachings of Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the attributes of Allah azza wa jalla, and they give you different names. So you recite this for this ailment, this will, and for this many days, this many times, and you will get relief, etc. But the question is the one universal cure for everything? And the answer is yes. And that is Durood-e Pak. Durood-e Pak is a command of Allah Azza wa Jal. So every time you read Durood-e Pak, you are fulfilling the command of Allah Azza wa Jal. Every time you recite Durood-e Pak, you get 10 mercies. Every time you recite Durood-e Pak, your ranks are raised in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal tenfold. Every time that you read Durood-e Pak, 10 good deeds are written for you. Every time you read Durood-e Pak, 10 sins are erased. Every time that you read Durood-e Pak, your du'as are accepted. You know, Durood-e Pak is a mercy. Every time you're ill, if you recite Durood-e Pak, it is a cure for you. Durood-e Pak is a means to forgiveness of your sins. Durood-e Pak is a means of getting rid of stress and sorrow and anxiety. Durood-e Pak is the answer to all your problems, is the cure to all your illnesses, is the solution to all your problems. You know, if you're poor and you recite Durood-e Pak, Allah Azza wa Jalla will make you rich. If you are in debt and you recite Durood-e Pak, Allah Azza wa Jalla will help you get out of your debt. If you are in difficulty and you want the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jalla, if you constantly recite Durood-e Pak all day, you will constantly be basking in the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jalla all day. If you recite Durood-e Pak, angels actually pray for your forgiveness. Can you imagine that? You're reciting Durood-e Pak and the angels in the heavens and the earth are asking for your forgiveness. You recite Durood-e Pak and it actually purifies you inside and out. Subhanallah. You recite Durood-e Pak and Allah Azza wa Jal gives you a beautiful death. You recite Durood-e Pak and Allah Azza wa Jal shows you the palaces of Jannah. You recite Durood-e Pak and on the day of judgment, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will shake hands with you. You recite Durood-e Pak and dangers and calamities are taken away from you. You recite Durood-e Pak and subhanallah, even if you forget something, Allah Azza wa Jal helps you remember it. If you recite Durood-e Pak and you're lost on a journey, Allah Azza wa Jal guides you. If you recite Durood-e Pak and you're afraid of the enemy, Allah Azza wa Jal protects you from that enemy. If you recite Durood-e Pak, Allah Azza wa Jal increases your intellect. If you recite Durood-e Pak, Allah Azza wa Jal lights up this world for you and your grave and the hereafter. And the list goes on. I've run out of time. Inshallah, we're going to continue next week. But, you know, decorate your lives with Durood-e Pak upon Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is that secret to the world. You know, we're looking for that little secret that will make me successful in everything I do. Try this. Just wherever you are all day, just keep your tongue moist in sending Durood Salam upon the beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and watch your life transform. This is the key to success and happiness in life. Durood-e Pak upon the best of creation sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ameen bijahin nabir, ameen sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallu alal Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
The mercy to the worlds, 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 sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.